B.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man. And, you know, my favorite season is coming. And I'm not talking about winter. I'm talking about the new political campaign for 2020. Oh yeah. And we're going to take a quick look at the different candidates who are going to be battling each other for the honor to fight Donald Trump to be president. And let's get started. We're going to begin with Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm actually going to talk about him a little bit later in the show. But at this point, Bernie Sanders is the odds-on favorite. But do the people realize that? Because the press is telling them that Bernie Sanders' name is basically mud. They're saying he's too far left. They're saying he's too establishment. They're saying he's too radical. They're saying he's too sexist. The racist charge hasn't been thrown in there yet. I mean, it was back in 2016, but I'll look for that to come up again in 2020 because the establishment does not want Bernie Sanders in power. Next, Joe Biden. Man, could you imagine? Joe Biden missed his chance. He should have run, but he did not. But if he had, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, remember Hillary Clinton basically financially bailed out the Democrat Party. And because of that, she got control over all the policy, the hiring, the firing, and basically, you know, was able to get the DNC to stand on the scale for her, as opposed to Bernie Sanders, even though the DNC's own rules state that they will not give money or show any favoritism to a campaign until after the people have made their selection, which they definitely did not. And I think that if Hillary Clinton had cheated, that she actually would be president right now. So, you know, someone getting their just desserts, that's a perfect case of that happening. And couldn't happen to a nicer person, right? I mean, Hillary Clinton deserves all the bad karma that comes her way, for sure. Now, Joe Biden, though, did not run, and I wonder if that was the reason why, but anyway, he didn't. So, coming into the game kind of late, I think. I know that he's popular with a lot of Democrats, and he is more mainstream. He's more centrist, I guess you could say. So, you know, maybe he could eke out a win here, but I don't know. Joe Biden has run for president before. People didn't like him then. That means that she can start raising money, putting down travel expenses, and billing the campaign. So Pocahontas herself is going to try to make a go of this, despite the embarrassment of her DNA test, which she and the press tried to spin terribly when she claimed to be an American Indian, a Native American, I guess, or indigenous people. You know what I'm talking about, guys. I can't keep up with all the politically correct name changes that we're supposed to keep track of. But she claimed that she was of Native American descent, fills out an application or two, and gets jobs with the school that she is hired by, touting her as part of their outreach program, right? And Elizabeth Warren is white as driven snow, takes a DNA test that proves it, but then touts that the DNA test showed that she was something like, I think, at least 1/1024th Native American, which is less Native American blood than most white people have in them. So really, really funny. And she had a little faux pas. Oh, I guess we could talk about it now. So Elizabeth Warren, she does a live stream. And if you don't know, Facebook, which is a big social media, you know, giant, they have made it where you can now live stream events. Oh, and Instagram, which Facebook owns. So you can live stream events on their platforms, and then people can, you know, can just basically watch. So Elizabeth Warren live streams, and, you know, the audio of it is really kind of dodgy. But basically, she starts the live stream, and then as soon as it starts running, you can tell this is scripted because her body language is pointing already to the direction that she's going to go in. And then she goes, I'm going to get a beer. And then she goes and she gets a beer. Opens it, drinks it. I think she did all this awkwardly. I actually don't drink beer, so I don't know if, you know, if she's just like a really smooth, experienced beer drinker and wanted everybody to know it, or if she was not good at beer drinking and just rehearsed it, or if she just looked bad. She looked bad to me. Whatever the reason is, she definitely wanted the people to know that she drank beer. It got mentioned 4 times. She acts like her husband suddenly appears and materializes during the live stream, and she doesn't realize it. And so she cracks open the beer and then says, "Would you like a beer?" He goes, "No, I'll pass on the beer for now." And then she calls them up. They look at each other awkwardly, you know, kind of slapping each other on the butts. And then he sits back down saying, "Enjoy your beer." It's just a very obviously staged scenario. And, you know, it's very disappointing. I think that it would hurt her, because Elizabeth Warren, is her claim to fame is, besides being told to shut up on the Senate floor and then, you know, refusing to be silent, her claim to fame is that she is a consumer advocate in government. Not a real consumer advocate like Ralph Nader was, where he's actually giving consumers practical advice and fighting for them, but a bureaucrat is what Elizabeth Warren is. And the progressives really like her a lot. And a lot of young people are progressive. Progressive is basically a far leftist, right? They're calling themselves progressives. So I think that a lot of them would find this phony. You know, young people generally like things that are quote-unquote real, right? And Elizabeth Warren was trying to be real with them, and it came off just the complete opposite. So I think she's already done a pretty good job of sabotaging her 2020 campaign, and has given the conservatives some great material to use against her already. All right, next up, Kamala Harris. I think this is probably going to be the lady that gets shoved on everyone the most. This person is the Hillary Clinton, the Jeb Bush for the 2020 campaign. This is a person that the media is going to try to push forward and shove in your face, probably because she wants war. You know, the media loves these pro-war candidates. And, you know what? I forgot to mention while I was talking about Elizabeth Warren, she went on Rachel Maddow's show, and Rachel Maddow hates Trump, right? Rachel Maddow is a leftist, and so these leftists used to hate war. They used to rail against war in the Middle East, and now that Donald Trump tweeted, "Hey, I'm going to pull out of Syria, I'm going to pull out of Afghanistan," suddenly a liberal loves war more than a conservative does. It's crazy to see. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's bananas. But, you know, the establishment loves war. If you remember, when Obama was in office, Obama put it to Congress for a vote if we should go invade Syria. The people at that time were pissed because everyone was over Iraq. Everyone was realized that was a huge mistake. And then the Democrats at that point of time didn't like war. And you know, most of the Democrats at that time didn't think we should be in Iraq in the first place because they're peace-loving hippies, right? So they all vote no. the Republicans knew Obama wanted to go in, but they hated Obama, and they also were over war. So they said no. And then Obama goes in and he invades Syria anyway, right? So he puts in, you know, we're just going to have 500 troops there. Then it's like 1,000 troops and 3,500 or whatever number is there now, 4,000. I don't know. But and bombing, right? So then bombing the place. And of course, all the propaganda of we have to be there and all that garbage. So, you know, Obama didn't care what the people wanted. He just went in and did it anyway. And so the press loves Obama and the press loves George Bush. Now they love him, right? George H.W. They love George W. Bush because the press loves war. It gives them stuff to talk about. Well, Kamala Harris also loves war. So watch for her to be shoved in your face for 2020. If you haven't heard of her yet, you're going to. 2020, the establishment candidate. They like her. You know, she's young. For a politician, right? And she pretends to be a progressive. She pretends she wants what the progressives want. Progressives want Medicare for all. They want free college. They want free health care, free everything, just free, 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 free. So that's what a progressive wants. And they want communism also, right? They want the government to make all the companies give away everything for free and have no rights and make no profits. So that's a progressive for you. And tax, they want taxation on everyone, making over, $5 an hour, right? I mean, that's a progressive. So the establishment is caught on to this. And so now they are subtly making digs at progressive candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, and they're feeling the pressure. I mean, I remember when Elizabeth Warren said, yes, the election was rigged against Bernie Sanders, but now we have to fix that and move forward. This is when Donna Brazile came out with proof saying that that Hillary Clinton had bailed out the Democrat Party. And now everyone realized that when they were crying back during the election that Bernie Sanders was screwed. Remember, Bernie Sanders had to sue the DNC for removing his access to the voter rolls for Democrats. And so all of that was manipulation by the Clintons. And when that came to light, which was a much smaller story than it should have been. I mean, it was a big story, but it wasn't near the size that it should have been. Elizabeth Warren came out and she goes, yes, it was rigged. She said that several times. It was rigged against Bernie Sanders. I mean, she couldn't say anything else. It's so flippin' obvious. But then I guess she got yelled at or something because then later on she came out and she says that was a poor choice of words. Just amazing, you know, amazing. So she's a sellout and she's the number two behind Bernie. And Bernie's a sellout. So if you remember Bernie Sanders, he endorsed Clinton. He endorsed Hillary Clinton, which is ridiculous. In my mind, you know. So unlike Ron Paul, who refused to endorse Romney to the very end because he knew Romney was a schlep, the backbone in the Democrats was not nearly strong enough, was not nearly to the Ron Paul standard, and they were not able to handle the pressure, and they caved. All right, so anyway, that's Kamala Harris. Now, next up, we have Amy Klobuchar, who, I don't know, maybe I should know about her, but I actually don't know anything about her. But I do know that she has thrown her hat in the ring. According to this article that I'm looking at, this is from Slate. I was looking for compilations of people running of Democrats running in 2020. It says here she hasn't exceeded 3% in any major national poll to date. But she saw her national profile grow considerably last year. So I guess 3%, you know, you take a 1 and you multiply it by any number, you're going to at least double it, right? Except by 1, I guess, but you get the idea. Let's see. She is... previously, her name was more likely to be found on lists of potential vice presidential picks, but now she's seen by some, including Rachel Maddow, as better suited for the top of the ticket. Well, let's see. As long as she's an establishment candidate, you'll see her pushed. If she's not, and if Rachel Maddow is endorsing her, Rachel Maddow used to be a far leftist, but now, although she is far to the left to what a conservative would consider, there are much more progressive people nowadays than Rachel Maddow. And now that Maddow is, you know, vying for continual war in the Middle East, she's certainly not even what I would consider a far leftist. But Rachel Maddow apparently likes this person. Let's see. She doesn't shy away from confrontation despite the Midwestern nice vibe, as she demonstrated with her "I have no drinking problem" judge clash with Kavanaugh during his confirmation. Oh, he must be the one that Judge Kavanaugh, at one point during his Senate hearing, was asked a question about his drinking and, you know, how often do you drink? And then he like snaps back, "How often do you drink?" Something like that. And I guess this was a person. And she goes, "I have no drinking problem, Judge." I thought that was kind of silly on the part of Kavanaugh. But hey, you know what? He's on the Supreme Court and I'm not. So who am I to judge the judge? Liability is the flip side of being a pragmatist, is that you can look like you're playing small ball while everyone else is swinging for the fences. Republicans deride her as the senator of small things by focusing her on, because she focuses on things like banning lead in toys and improving swimming pool safety. I like that stuff. I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't like extra regulations that are put on needlessly, but I'd rather, you know, I like things to move along slowly. I don't like the federal government making sweeping changes in my life. So, heck, if a Democrat has to get in at some point, I'd rather one that's going to do less damage than, you know, than take all my money and give it to everybody else. Speaking of which, Cory Booker is also in the race. And Cory Booker has proven himself to be a great establishment candidate. And remember, he's Spartacus now, right? So he loves the spotlight. And I think he'll do okay for a little bit, but then fall off. I don't see Cory Booker as being a big time candidate. So it's pretty early. God, should I make a pick now? Because I'll look really bad when these guys like fall off right away. Oh, and Beto O'Rourke. Did I talk about him already? So he lost it against Cruz. And but he won't go away. You know, he's you know what? He's young. He's got time. He's got plenty of time to be defeated. And he might be president someday. So I better not talk too badly about him, because these Democrats will audit your tax returns. You know, they don't care about you, right? Right, Bill? Oh, yes, certainly. I will do that. Let's see. Who could be here? Who's the most establishment? Well, like I said, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. I think they'll pretend to like Elizabeth Warren for a little bit, and then boom, poof, be gone. She'll fall off. So, yeah, and they've pushed so hard for Harris. They really, really want her. So I say the person to lose to President Trump is going to be Kamala Harris. Let's go with her. All right. So what else do we got to talk about here? Oh, yeah, I said I was going to come back to Bernie Sanders. Yeah. So like I said, there are two wings right now of the Democrat Party. It's so funny because they said Trump's going to split the party. Trump's going to destroy the Republican Party. Republican Party is doing pretty good. The Democrats are in disarray. They are so screwed. So let's look at the at Bernie Sanders right now. He had an interview with Anderson Cooper on his show, Anderson Cooper 360 or whatever. And Bernie has to defend himself on this show because the New York Times, was it the New York Times or Washington Post? An article was written about him saying that his campaign engaged in sexism and he's now a target of the Me Too movement and that this might endanger his 2020 run. Now, none of this is actually true from from what I've seen, Bernie Sanders actually paid his campaign staff, unlike Obama, who charged his campaign staff, or most people who run their campaign as intern experience. And apparently, when Bernie Sanders was paying his staff, he allowed the staff to negotiate their own salary, which this column has written in a slant, saying that by paying people that way, you're actually engaging in sexism, because men are more likely to make more money under that sort of a structure. And then it points out, in fact, that Bernie Sanders' campaign did have someone who complained, because it was a lady that complained because a younger intern, a male, was making about twice what she was making, complained about it, and then they fixed the oversight. So they fixed the problem. But the thing is that, you know, this sort of structure is sexist against women, the way that they're paying people. And that there is apparently some harassment in the campaign. Now, I looked at the allegation, and what happened was a lady was asked by a coworker on the campaign staff, "Can I touch your hair?" She said yes, thinking he meant like a strand, but he ran his fingers through her hair and then, how did she put it, tested her for the rest of the night, tested her boundaries for the rest of the day or whatever. So apparently this is Bernie Sanders' fault, and now he's got to defend himself against this, which is probably something he didn't even know happened. And, you know, I disagree with Bernie Sanders and everything that he stands for, but I am in the position of having to defend Bernie Sanders because this is so obviously a smear job. Now, I don't know Bernie Sanders. He might be a huge sexist and a huge misogynist, and he might be the worst person in the world. I know his policies are the worst in the world, and I would never want him even anywhere near the White House. But I do find this smear job amusing. So let's hear how Bernie Sanders handled this question.
With you in every instance.
Just lastly, I want to ask you about an article that was published in the New York Times today. In it are allegations describing episodes of sexual harassment and demeaning treatment, as well as pay disparity in your 2016 campaign. I'm wondering, were you aware of those allegations during the campaign? And if you do run into 2020, how can you ensure something like that doesn't happen again?
Good question. And the answer is, Anderson, I'm very proud of the campaign we ran in 2016. You know, we started at 4% of the polls. We ended up winning 22 states, 13 million votes. I think we changed the nature of political discourse in this country, raising issues that are now kind of mainstream, which were then considered extreme and fringe. But when our campaign grew from, I think we started with three or four paid employees, and over a period of a few months, as the campaign exploded, we went up to, I think, 1,200 employees. And I am not going to sit here and tell you that we did everything right in terms of human resources, in terms of addressing the needs that I'm hearing from now, that women felt disrespected, that there was sexual harassment, which was not dealt with as effectively as possible. What I will tell you is that when I ran for re-election in 2018 in Vermont, we put forward the strongest set of principles in terms of mandatory training, in terms of women, if they felt harassed, having an independent firm that they can go to. And I think that's kind of, you know, the gold standard for what we should be doing. So I certainly apologize to any woman who felt that she was not treated appropriately. And of course, if I run, we will do better next time.
And just to be clear, you seem to indicate that you did not know at the time about the allegations. Is that correct?
Yes. I was a little bit busy running around the country trying to make the case.
Senator Sanders, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Oh, bad choice of words, Bernie. They're going to spin that as you were too busy to care. Man, you know, so much I didn't get to today. I wanted to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She took a cute little video of her dancing. They're saying that the Republicans hated it, but there was only one article about it and really didn't even go on about that. They're misrepresenting things again. But I got to go, guys. Thanks for listening to me. This is the